Okay, maybe having a cliffhanger yesterday was not a smart move. I don't know. We'll see what happened. Okay, we left off yesterday with a very interesting. We had a premise. The premise was that Yirmiyahu, in the Megillah of Echa, is referencing another event. He's referencing the event, and as we'll see in a minute, the event that could have been, and that was the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That the in Echa, in the time of tragedy, he is definitely making a lot of parallels to the Geula, the ultimate redemption, the paradigm of redemption, the basis for all future Geulas, and that is, of course, the redemption from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, that took place thousands of years ago. And, of course, tragically, that is not the situation that he finds himself in, heading out to exile, destruction of Jerusalem, the opposite of anything but redemption, but rather exile, dispersion, pain, suffering, and torture. And we saw the parallels to Mitzrayim and to Echa in source number 8 yesterday. I just realized I need to share my screen with everybody. So let me do that right now. Share screen. Okay, done. So what's so important with understanding the context of another event, and we mentioned that there was a king whose name was Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and he fell to sing Shira, and this king of Chizkiyahu, the Chazal were very critical, and he had tremendous potential, and he didn't sing Shira. And we said, okay, that seems okay, don't get me wrong, not saying Shira is like the wrong thing to do, but is there anything more here? What really is a deeper message that maybe the Tanakh is trying to tell us? And we'll appreciate with if we understand exactly Chizkiyahu's issue and challenges, we can appreciate maybe what Yirmiyahu is really trying to tell us under the surface, which is quite relevant and meaningful for the time period that we live in. And we also mentioned yesterday that there was an incredible miracle that took place in his time. He gave an incredible, very powerful speech. And we also noticed there are many things that took place during his time that's actually very similar to Mitzrayim. And what were the examples? The examples was that he was also under siege. That literally the king of Ashur, Sennacherib, is sitting outside of his walls. They're under siege. They have no food. They have no water. They're under siege. You're being trapped. You have a situation, again, maybe not connected to Mitzrayim, but you have a situation kind of where you have the leader of the enemy kind of profaning God's name. In many ways, the king of Egypt, Mitzrayim, Paro, was also, he's like, I'm not going to listen to this Hebrew God. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. I'm the most powerful person in the world. And in many ways, Sennacherib actually makes the same arguments. And Sennacherib sends a messenger, and he tells the people standing by the wall, and he sends a message, and he says, listen, if your God is so powerful, he hasn't helped you until now. He hasn't saved you at all. So if that's the case, give up. Turn on your king. Turn on your God. They're abandoning you. They're phony, and they are fake. And he really profanes the name and God's reputation. Tremendous chil Hashem. And we also notice that the speech that the king, that Yechizkiyahu gives, is very powerful, very similar to the speech that Moshe gives. Chizku v'amtsu al toro techadahu. Don't be stand and be fearful, similar to the words of Moshe by the Yamsuv. And then all of a sudden, that's where we left off. And it seems that there's going to be destruction, just like there seemed to be impending destruction that faced the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael. When they were leaving Mitzrayim, they were trapped in front of them, stood the water behind the Egyptians. They seemed to have nowhere to go. They were trapped. And all of a sudden, something happens. Yechizkiyahu HaMelech Davin. Yechizkiyahu Davins, and they turn to God. And all of a sudden, a miracle takes place. Vishlach Hashem Malach. Hashem sends an angel. Wow, isn't that interesting? Take a look at what happens in the story of Mitzrayim. There's also, Hashem sends, there's a great wind, right? There's a great wind. And there was a plague, right? We're familiar with plagues. And all of a sudden, there was a plague that took place, and all of Sennacherib and his men who were camped, who were literally on the doorsteps, about to crush and destroy the tiny, fleeting Yehuda of Judea. The most Jews were already wiped out and destroyed in the northern kingdom about 100 years earlier, like we saw. Very few people left, and they were about to be crushed, and a miracle happened in the middle of the night. Literally, without lifting a sword, without shooting a bullet, the entire camp of Sennacherib perished. Unbelievable. And look at these words, the language. I'm reading from Divrei Yomim. I'm not reading from Shemos. Vayosh Hashem. Look at these words. Vayosh Hashem. S. Yechizkiyahu. The S. Yoshvei Yerushalayim. Of course, those words sound like Vayosh Hashem Vayomu. Of course, that's a place by the Yam Suf. So, pretty amazing, right? And Hashem saved and provided Yeshua to Yechizkiyahu and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem from Sennacherib, the king of Ashur, and everybody there, right? And they bring korbanos, and they're so happy, yay, 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 yay. And then finally, he begged not to die. Okay, he doesn't die. However, bad news happens. Look what happens. Yechizkiyahu gets sick, prays to God, gives him a sign. He says, I've been given all these incredible, I've gotten lots of money, I've gotten lots of stuff. And what ends up happening is very soon after he gets sick and he actually gets healed, people hear about this incredible story of Yechizkiyahu. And nations from around the world, like, wow, he was really sick, he was healed, wow, he had this war against Sennacherib and he wiped out those powerful army. How did he do it? And all of a sudden, the Sarei Bavel, remember, the Bavel, by the way, who will become the superpower after Ashur, and guess what Bavel's going to do? Bavel will be the ones to wipe out the first base of Middash. So that's quite ironic. We know that's the case. The representatives from Bavel come, and look what they come to do. Lidrosh Hamofet. They want to come to Yerushalayim and be like, wow, you guys are miraculous. Tell me, how did you do it? Asher haya ba'aretz azavo Elokim. How is it possible that we thought God abandoned the Jewish people, but he didn't? Please, these simple people, these ministers from Bavel are coming to Yehuda, are coming to Yechizkiyahu and saying, tell us, good greatness, what happened? And they're being very sincere, you know, an amazing kiruv opportunity, an amazing Kiddush Hashem opportunity. But look what happens. Tragedy takes place. I'm wondering. You know why it doesn't flow? Because I skipped a lot of psukim. Let me explain to you what happens. What ends up happening is, again, this is hard to understand, but it's explained in Yeshayahu, right? What happens? And that when these people come to visit, I'm going to do this very quickly. It's in Yeshayahu. That's always a problem. You don't do very yamim. Divrei Yamim only focus on certain things. You have to learn Yeshayahu at the same time to see the big picture. So here we just highlight certain points. In Yeshayahu, this episode is actually magnified a great deal in the Navi. And what ends up happening is these people, Mirodech Baladan, these are the names from Bavel, who come to Chizkiyahu, and they heard that he was sick and that he got better. And they wondered about this great, incredible situation. And of course, being victorious over the king of Ashur. And look what he does, Chizkiyahu. Here, this is where it's explained. Mismach alem Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu hears that people from Bavel are coming, and he is happy. Now, I ask you a question. Why is he happy? Or why should he be happy? Look at why he's happy. And what does he show them? Remember what they want to do. They're coming to Drosh Esamofet. They're coming to see the miracle. They want to know what's going on. They want to see the greatness of the Jewish people, of the God of the Jews. And what does Chizkiyahu do when they show up? By Yarem his base, Nichoso, the Kesef, and the Zav, the Besamim, and the Shemen Atov, his Beskelav. You know what Chizkiyahu does? He shows how much money he has. He shows how much silver he has. He shows how many spices he has. How much perfume that he has. That's what he shows him. Lo haya davar asher lo herach Chizkiyahu beveiso b'chol mamshato. He literally showed them everything. All the treasury, all the stuff, all the possessions that he had amassed. But Yeshua Navi, they leave. Yeshua shows up and listen to this terrible nevuah. We have Yeshua Navi, Alamelech Chizkiyahu, Vayomer Lav. Ma'amru Nashe Melech. What do those people say? Where are they from? Says Chizkiyahu, they're from a faraway land, from Bavel. Remember, Ma'amru Beveisecha. Yeshua says, what did you show them in your home? What did Chizkiyahu says? I showed them everything. I literally showed them everything that I had. Lo haya davar asher lo harisim b'otorai. There wasn't a single thing that I and my treasure didn't show them. Listen to the scathing words of Yeshayahu. Shema davar Hashem tzvakos. Hinei yamim ba'im v'nisi o es asher b'veisecha. Vashir Atsaru of Asecha de Mazeb Bavel. Everything that you have in this house is going to go to Bavel. Well, you just showed these Babylonians, they're all going to take and loot. And guess what's going to happen to you? Mi banecha, asher yetze mimcha, asher tolid, ikachu. And your children that you're going to have, they're going to take. Vayu sarisim bechal melech Bavel. Why is Yeshayahu so angry at Chizkiyahu? The answer is he's not angry. He's very disappointed. This was a watershed moment in Jewish history. Imagine the following scenario. Here's an opportunity for non-Jews, for the ministers of Bavel, who hear about the great miracles of Yehuda, of God, the Jewish people, and they come and they want to be inspired. They want to hear about the great God of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo b'atzmo. And instead, what do? They see and they're shown gold and silver. He had the greatest opportunity for the greatest Kiddush Hashem ever. And he failed. Instead of teaching these Babylonians about the love and appreciation that God has for his people and the miracles that took place since the exodus of Egypt and the miracles that took place then and are continuing to take place, he failed to inspire. And instead, he showed him the gold and the silver. He failed to sing Shira. If you take a look at all these examples, Chizkiyahu the king is literally living in the modern Yitzias Mitzrayim. That is why the text in Yeshayahu, in Dvar HaYamim, are all saying to the king Yechizkiyahu, you're living in Egypt, part two. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, part two. Look at the language. Vayosha Hashem Yechizkiyahu, right? The speech that he gives, everything is connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim. With one failure. When you hear the words Vayashashem Bayomahu, Vayashashem Yechezkel Yeshvei Yushalayim Yetzer Chiriv, obviously you as people who are familiar with the Siddur, you know the next paragraph in Davening is Az Yeshir Moshe. But there's a failure on behalf of Yechezkiyahu. There's a failure to sing praise, to sing wonder, and to inspire everyone around him. He failed to do so. He focuses on the Gashmius and the physicalities. He doesn't focus on the lessons, on the message, on the meaning, on the purpose. He doesn't say that God is a God of ethics, morality, of goodness, of miracles. But instead, people come from far away, and he's like, wow, they're coming to visit me? Wow, I have made it. And guess what? He failed to have made it. How tragic, how upsetting. But at least now we can appreciate why it is the Gemara said, we wanted to make the battle of the king of Ashur. What did the Gemara say? Remember this? Sancheriv, the battle, Gog Magog. Make Chizkiyahu the king Mashiach. This was it. This was the watershed moment. The whole world would have changed forever. Why? Because remember the way it was supposed to be after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remember? What could have happened was that all the nations of the world, it wasn't supposed to be Az Yashir Moshe ben Israel. Ideally, Az Yashir Kol Ha'olam Kulo. All the nations were supposed to sing the Shira along with Moshe. It didn't have to be. Paro didn't have to choose hatred and chasing and war. Paro had an opportunity to join in the Shira with Moshe Rabbeinu. An opportunity also to recognize God's hand in history and his might and his message. But Paro failed to do so. But one day, what do we say at the end of Shira Sayam? In Davening, at the end of days, the ideal is that all the nations are supposed to recognize Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That never happened by the Shira by Moshe Rabbeinu, which is why in Davening, we add on those last couple of psukim, because Yishtabach Shimcha Lad Malkinu, it says many times before, right? That ideally, everyone is supposed to say Yishtabach, not just the Jewish people, not just in Shul, but the whole world. In a future time, Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that's the ideal, that's the vision. And Chizkiyahu had that opportunity. Chizkiyahu had that opportunity to bring the world to Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. If he would have led the song, they would have joined in. If he would have inspired, they would have joined him. But he failed to do so. That's what it means. That was the plan. Chizkiyahu, Hashem set it all up. all he needed to do was to show these people who are coming from Bavel and inspire them. And that would have had a domino effect throughout the entire world. It would have transformed history. History, known history as we know it, would have come to an end. That didn't happen. Instead, he focused on power, on might, on money, on ego, on himself. And that led to his destruction, destruction of Yerushalayim and the first Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu is coming along a few decades later. And in Echa now we can appreciate, why is it that Yirmiyahu is referencing Mitzrayim? That this galus of Chorban Beis Rishon is connected to Mitzrayim. And why is it that we, in the kinos, HaKalir and others, are always, you know, contrasting, comparing Mitzrayim to Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av to Mitzrayim, and various customs that we mentioned yesterday, having the egg the night at the Seder, right? You know, that we talk about on Tisha B'Av is what Mashiach is born in Tisha B'Av, Geula, the possibility of redemption, the seed of redemption, it's Menachem Av, it's Hashem, our Father, is comforting us. But, and also, what's Nisan? We redeemed in Nisan, we'll be redeemed again in Nisan. What all these things mean? What these things mean is that often exile and redemption are often not that far away from each other. It's sometimes just a moment that can change and transform one from the other. We have opportunities in our lives that are watershed moments as well. And how we respond, if we are aware and if we're conscious, instead of focusing on our power and our ego and the I, we focus on others, on responsibilities that we have towards other people in our community. If we focus on that, that can transform history forever. It was a great tragedy that took place in the times of Yeshayahu, in the times of Chizkiyahu. Even though he's a great man and he had any reforms, we saw yesterday, he had a beautiful Pesach and he reformed the Jewish people and did wonderful things. That's all great. But at the moment that mattered, Hashem saved him for a purpose. Why did Hashem save him by Sennacherib and Ashur? Why? So that, remember, God can't be the PR man for God. God needs people, Am Yisrael, us to be God's mouthpiece, to represent Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And so he saved him with a purpose, with a matara. He was sick, he healed him. Why? So he'd fulfill a mission and a purpose. He failed his mission and his purpose. And that's why we failed God. He failed God, and the Beis HaMikdash has no purpose. Because what's the function of Beis HaMikdash? He basically based tefillah yikarei l'chol hamim. All the nations of the world are supposed to recognize the house of God and bring korbanos and sacrifices and see how incredible the God of the Jewish people are and want eventually to be part of it and join in unison in song and in spirit. What Yirmiyahu says in the Megillah of Eicha is, yes, when we left Mitzrayim, there was also a tremendous hope and opportunity. Paro chose to stay behind. Paro chose war. Paro chose hatred. Paro chose strife. And instead of Bnei Yisrael and maybe Mitzrayim crossing the Yamsuf together, Paro chose to drown in Yamsuf, or the Egyptians drowned in Yamsuf. But that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Take a look at the language of the Shira. Az nisfalu elofei adam. Right, micha mocha bakilim Hashem, by the way, is probably said by the non-Jews. For the non-Jewish nations of the world. That's the ideal. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the future. That's the hope. That's the intent. But my friends, we've come far from those moments. We are anything but there. And that is why we still read Eicha. And that is why we are still going to read Eicha tonight, and why in Israel, they're minutes away from reciting Eicha. I think Eicha there is like 8 o'clock or 8:10. And so we have to ask ourselves at these moments that we have in our personal lives, how do we respond? If we look at life and we use these glasses of a Kiddush Hashem, how can we look to assist God's name and God's reputation in the world? If we can figure out a way to make life better for other people, that's why we are here. That is why God has healed us. That is why God has put us in the positions that we are currently in. We have a mission and we have a purpose and we have a destiny that we hope to fulfill. And if that is the case, then we can see that the days of galus, of dispersion, of suffering, and of torture do not have to be, but rather they can be transformed into days of simcha and of joy and celebration. But the responsibility is up to us. God wanted, the original intent was God to make Chizkiyahu the king, Melech HaMashiach. He provides opportunities. That's all God can do. It is up to us to take advantage and to use those opportunities as moments of hope, inspiration, and of goodness and of kindness. Because that's what he wants from us, to lead those types of lives and to spread them to others. If that's the case, God willing, this will be the last time that we recite Echa throughout all of our communities. And hopefully that day will come very, very soon. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Have an easy fast. Tonight, if you're interested, we are going to be broadcasting Echa from the outside, from the Chuppah Garden, over this channel, over the JLIC Zoom. Or you can go to your local shul. If you want to make the drive north, you can come as well. Just remember to register in advance. Have an easy fast. And again, tomorrow around 12:30-ish, we'll figure it out. Okay? Have a great day. Easy fast. Drink a lot of water.
Thanks. Thank you.
Everyone.